Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Today on the Zabecast, my definitive final pre-opener opinion on the Redskins' 2018 campaign. I'll play Ollie the Optimist, Reggie the Realist, and the Dougie Downer look as well. Drew Olsen, the Big 920, will join me. We'll talk Khalil Mack, sideline reporting, slip-ons versus regular sneaks, and more. All that plus the Muppets meet the fish market. If you've got 45 minutes to kill, then buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Wednesday, September 5th, 2018. Thank you for downloading. We are one more day closer to the start of the National Football League. We are also a couple days closer to the debut of the Football Five Ways premium Zabecast offering on Friday morning with You Are Looking Live, the complete, uncensored, original version of it. We've got Mr. X with his picks of the week. We've got Charch on fantasy. I'm going to talk to Jeff Perlman, who wrote a book about the USFL, as our special football interview on Friday, and we'll also have a college football insider as well. You can get it one way and one way only. Go to zabe.com/premium and subscribe as a premium subscriber, and you will be part of the elite. You will not get a coin. We're out of coins. I'm sorry. First 500 grabbed them up in less than 24 hours. I apologize for that, but I got people asking me, hey, if I sign up for premium, do I still get a coin? And I'm like, damn it, this is not what I wanted to have. I didn't want you guys just signing up for the damn coin. Please sign up for the good podcasts. I appreciate that. Zabe.com/premium. I had somebody, 70s, Mr. Who was this on Twitter? I just responded to him. Yeah, here we go. Okay. This is a tweet from Mr. E at 70s Rejoin. This is not gentleman, I don't think. He tweeted me to say, Zabe, pulling a free Friday show and putting it behind a paywall is absolute garbage. To which I responded, well, just pretend Thursday is Friday and then give yourself Monday off. Problem solved. People are now attacking this guy. Don't attack Mr. E. I get it. I've pulled something back from you people. I'm making you pay for it now if you want it. All right. We've got Drew Olsen coming up in just a sec. Let me go ahead and give you my take on the Redskins season. I'll give you three. First of all, my prediction is 6-10, and I dearly hope I am wrong. I also acknowledge that there is no
there's no money in being right. There's no benefit to being right in sports radio. To try to be right is a sucker's game. I still play that sucker's game, though. I don't know why. I feel like if you're going to listen to me yak and yak and yak, you want my honest opinion. You don't want sunshine. You don't want just, you know, the party line. You want my take. If I had to bet on a single number as to the Redskins' record this year, and I'm not going to say, well, they're about an 8-8 talent, but who knows one way or the other. Well, they could win as many as 10 if everything breaks right. No. You want a number, I'll give you a number. My number is 6-10. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, and I realize there's no money in being right, and I realize that I've pissed off a number of Redskin fans who are like, why do you got to be this way, man? Why? You know, we're 0-0 right now. The season unfolds in front of us with all kinds of possibilities, and you're there being Mr. 6-10 asshole. Fuck off. Okay, I get it. Here's what I see this season as for the Redskins. I see it as a patch year, and not a patch and pray. Pray implies that it's too much of a long shot. It's a patch and hope year for this team and this organization, because what did they essentially do in the offseason? They kept Jay Gruden. They kept Bruce Allen on board, even though Doug has been given more responsibility. They have brought in Alex Smith, and they have nibbled at the edges of free agency, signing a couple of guys, notably Paul Richardson, wide receiver out of the Seattle Seahawks. That's it. That's their free agency move. They did not go after big names. They did not spend a lot of money. And they drafted a big, fat stud in the middle in Daron Payne, nose tackle from Alabama. And I like that draft pick, and I like what they've done defensively. But it's sort of a case of the whole organization has said, it wasn't us last year. It was Kirk and his bad juju, his bad mojo, his bad vibes of not wanting to sign a contract. And it was injuries. That's what it was. So this year, we got Alex, who's happy to be here. We've paid him, by the way. And we're not going to get as hurt. Everything else is the same. And that's what the team is hoping for. I don't see the amount of talent that they think that they have. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I am. Let's go through it real quick. They're also the Redskins counting on a number of things falling their way. They're counting on, I think, upwards of 7 out of 10 things that could go either way falling their direction. If 5 go one way and 5 go the other way, then they're right back to where they were, which is about an 800 team. If more go south than, you know, of those 10 mythical things, and I don't have a list of 10, I'm just saying, let's say there's 10 things they're hoping fall their direction this year. Of those 10, I think they need 7 out of 10, which is a pretty high number, for them to have a good season. 9, 10, maybe 11 wins. I mean, that's really the sunniest I can go. They're hoping Alex Smith picks up right where he left off under Andy Reid's system here in Washington with Jay Gruden. And maybe he will. I would bet against it, though, for a couple of reasons. One, don't disrespect the fat man Andy Reid and the offenses that he can scheme up. Number two, let's not forget the talent in Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, who were fantastic last year for Kansas City. Alex Smith is coming off career numbers. What is the history of 34-year-old guys setting a career high in numbers and then resetting those even higher with a new team the next year? I'll hang up and listen to your answer off the air. You know the answer. It's unlikely. Of course, Smith doesn't have to necessarily post career numbers for the team to be successful. They're hoping that Chris Thompson comes back from his gruesome injury and is every bit as effective as a third down back, a game-breaking back, a screen and run back that can turn games inside out, like he did against the Rams last year. That's a hope. We don't know. He was barely played in the preseason for good reason, because he's still recovering. They're hoping that Adrian Peterson, since Geis went down, has it still and can be a full season back? I ask that very sheepishly. I don't see it. I see 7 games from Peterson, 365 yards, 2 touchdowns. Just what I see. Sorry to be a hater. It's just my honest opinion. They're hoping Jordan Reed can stay healthy all year. I am too. I would say if he gives us 14 games, that's phenomenal. If he gives us 12, that's about what I expect. If it's south of 12, it's a huge problem. They're counting on Vernon Davis, who has been an ageless wonder these last 2 years, to continue to be an ageless wonder. At age, let's see here, born 812, no, I'm sorry, born, come on, our lad's depth chart, give me his birth date, 84, 34 years old. They're hoping that he continues to be what he was. I think that's a bit of a hope right there. Moses and Trent are coming off of major surgeries. They're both tanks. They're warriors. I'm not too worried. Interior of the line, I think, looks pretty good. Laval's the weak spot. Chase Rouye was the bonus baby six-rounder from last year that they really like at center. And Sheriff is a stud who should be a perennial Pro Bowler. He kind of gets overlooked just a bit. O-line, I'm not too worried about. But can Jay commit to the run? Don't know. Wide receiver. Now, this is a weird bunch. A lot of people still believe in Josh Doctson. I am not so high on Josh Doctson. I think he is what he's shown, and that's not much of a player. Maybe he'll break out this year, maybe be dominant, maybe be a 70-plus catch guy. Yeah. I've loved Crowder as a slot guy until last year. Last year, he dropped way too many passes. He fumbled too many punts. I'm like, what the hell, Crowder? You used to be in my hot tub of guys that I love. Didn't have a good year. Let's hope he bounces back. Richardson, I've heard people compare him to a poor man's DeSean Jackson. He has the speed. He was more productive statistically than I realized when I looked it up in Seattle last year. He could be good. Keep an eye out for him. I'm not totally into it. Mo Harris, Cam Sims, Trey Quinn. Here's what's weird. Trey Quinn, as the short, zip-zip white guy, the seventh-round pick, Mr. Irrelevant, may play a bigger role on this team than anyone realizes. There is a weird spot in the toolbox for a white, handsy, zip-zip guy on more and more teams. It's the Cole Beasley effect. It's the Edelman and Welker effect with the Patriots. Little short white guys, great hands, who can run these little pain-in-the-ass routes. You're not going to count on them to lift the lid and go downfield 30 yards and catch a touchdown, but you're counting on them to get 6 yards when you need four, counting on them to get 9 yards when you need seven, and they run these little routes that terrorize and just completely annoy defenders. He could be huge. And Cam Sims is interesting. You know, I see in Cam Sims a guy who, if he continues on this trajectory, he might make people say, Josh who? Granted, undrafted free agent out of Alabama, Cam Sims. Still very raw. But is seemingly the same type of go-up-and-get-it guy that Josh Doctson was supposed to be as a first-round pick. So watch out for that. Overall, it's a weird group of wide receivers that I don't know who's going to be the number one. I don't know who Alex Smith is going to like as his go-to guy. I'm guessing it'll be Crowder. We'll see. It's going to be interesting to watch. So that's the offense. On defense, the front seven looks awesome. Allen, Payne, Ioannidis up front, with Preston Smith in a contract year at one edge rush. Ryan Kerrigan, who is remarkably consistent at the other edge. Some decent middle linebackers in Mason Foster and Zach Brown. And some young guys who could filter up and be factors this year, like Sean Dion Hamilton, who guys are really liking. So I like the front seven. Everyone does on paper. Let's see how it plays out. Tim Settle, also defensive tackle from Virginia Tech, has had a great August. He could be a fifth-round bonus baby. See, that's the thing. That's how you finally get good. You get these mid-round bonus babies. You're like, this guy can play. Rouye, our center, sixth-rounder. Settle, if he's good this year, fifth-rounder. You get a guy like Monte Nicholson, fourth-rounder. Mid-round guys that pop up and become really good players for you. The secondary is a huge roll of the dice. Huge roll of the dice. Josh Norman is supposed to be the tent pole. He's supposed to be the star that keeps it together. Josh Norman looked terrible in the third preseason game. He was not just not good, he was picked on by Denver. If Josh Norman goes the wrong way, if Josh Norman is a minus this year, look out. Dunbar might have plateaued as a converted wide receiver at the other cornerback position. I love Nicholson, but I worry about how he runs and hits because of concussions. They've said they've worked with him on ways to tackle that could minimize those concussion risks. Swearinger is fine, but he's more... Here's the thing about DJ Swearinger. After a while, all the talk, all the swagger gets to be a bit much. That's all. He's good. He's not as good as he likes to bill himself. Fabian Moreau, we don't know about. We'll see. I think Apke is probably going to be a miss as a fourth rounder, but let's hope that that's not the case. Danny Johnson, who was a free agent, has really wowed the coaches in practice. DeShazer Everett is okay as a safety. Adonis Alexander, not ready. And then same thing with Greg Stroman. The defense looks up front really, really enticing. And if the back end can hold up, hey, all I want is this defense to be around 15. Do you know if this defense can float up from the high 20s and the low 30s in rankings to just middle of the pack? That's it, just middle of the pack. It will feel like, oh my God, this is great. Special teams, we don't do anything good on special teams ever. Tressway is a great punter. Hopkins has a great leg, but he's missing more kicks than I would like. And Crowder's going to return kicks and punts, it looks like, and we haven't returned one for a touchdown in like forever. So there you go. Jay is a coach. He designs elegant offensive schemes. He knows how to maximize the talent he's got in his passing game schemes. I don't know how committed to the run he is. We'll see. How good will Peterson work with him? Will he get frustrated if he's not getting enough carries? Tactically, Jay is probably a minus coach. He frustrates the shit out of a lot of us, saying, you know, when he does things during a game, you're like, why didn't you do this? Well, how come you couldn't figure out how to win that game? Really, the crowning moment of Jay not closing out a game was against the Saints last year. 15-point lead with about 8 minutes to go. Something like a 97% chance of winning that game, and they somehow figured out a way to lose it. So that's the season. I think if everything goes right, if the guys they need healthy, like Jordan Reed, if Jordan Reed's healthy, if Doxson blossoms, if Alex Smith takes to Jay's offense like the duck to water, and if Peterson is serviceable, hey, we're in business. If the front seven stays mostly healthy, if the back end does what it's supposed to do, I think the most optimistic, Ollie the Optimist says high end for the Redskins, 10 wins. That's the ceiling. I don't see 11. I don't see 11. I'm sorry. This team hasn't won 11 games since 1992, 91, something like that. Yeah, that's right. That's a real stat. Stat of the day. Worst case would be, yes, Jordan Reed gets hurt. Yes, other guys get hurt. Maybe Trent goes down. No, Doxson doesn't blossom. Of course, Peterson is shot. Yes, Alex Smith struggles in this new system for the first year. And the front seven is okay, but the back end on defense sucks. Hard schedule. Worst case is 4 wins. They'll win at least 4. My target's about 6. I think more of these 50-50 things that they were betting on and hoping on falling their direction, I think 5 of those, 6 of those are going to fall the wrong way. And then they're going to get something you didn't anticipate, an injury you didn't anticipate, or something that's not working like you thought it would, you don't anticipate. So I think 6-10. God dang, I hope I am wrong. Please, God, let me be wrong. Let us have a Redskins season. As I always used to say to my friend Kevin Sheehan, who I miss dearly on the station, but I talked to him the other day. He's alive and well. I say to Kevin Sheehan right before we start the season, I say, come on, let's go have ourselves a season. What do you say? All right. Time for Drew Olsen, our midday host on the Big 920 in Milwaukee. I ask him, is he already with his money telling Nike, just take my money. Take my money. I'm ready to buy the camera. I swear to God, Drew, I'm not kidding when I say this. I might buy a pair of Air Kaepernicks as soon as they come out because they could be collector's items. Like, we don't know how this is going to go. How are we doing there, Drew Dog?
I'm doing great, man.
Are you going to buy a pair of Air Kaepernicks? And would you wear Air Kaepernicks around town?
Well, I'd have to burn my Air Monarchs first. The old white guy mall walking lawn mowing shoes I have to burn to make room for them in my closet. But
is there anything more hilarious and stupid than people burning their shit on a sports-related thing on the internet? I cannot think of anything dumber than that. In fact, that guy should be my fuck that guy for today, but I've got somebody else lined up for that.
That the guy who burned his shoes while they were on his feet and ended up in the hospital?
I did not see that.
I just saw a tweet of a guy.
Shut up.
It almost makes me think it has to be fake.
What, did he just pour lighter fluid on his shoes while he was wearing them, going, damn, Kaepernick, I ain't wearing these goddamn shoes.
And burned them while they were on his feet. And then there's a picture of him, and he's like, I'm in the hospital, and there's a picture of two burned feet. The tops of his feet are burned. I don't. It has to be fake.
So how do you think this is going to play for Nike? Do you think this is going to be a home run, or is this going to be a disaster?
I think it's brilliant marketing on their part. They know who their audience is, and it's going to rile people up and trying to make them relevant again.
And they think that you agree with them thinking, well, we're going to lose some guys. We're going to peel off some people, probably some older, whiter elements of our demographic, but we'll replace that
don't buy
with
shoes
younger.
Anyway.
We'll replace that with younger, hipper guys.
They know who buys their shoes. The people who buy their shoes will say, okay, cool, I'll still buy them.
How many pairs of shoes do you have right now? How many pairs of sneakers do you think you have?
Oh, probably a lot. Probably 6, 7, 8.
That's not a lot, Drew.
Not a lot to a lot of people, but
that's
a lot to me.
That's not a lot. There's people that are shoe collectors that literally have a full closet full of them.
Yeah. I am not in that camp.
Okay.
No.
Because you can only wear one pair at a time. I tried to put two pairs on at once,
and it didn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. I love the hot takes, though. People. So one guy said, fuck Nike, I'm never wearing their stuff again. And then somebody pointed out to him, your avatar has a picture of you in a Nike golf hat. He goes, oh, damn, it's my favorite hat. So, and then another woman
That's it, I'm burning my avatar. Watch.
Another woman said, You know, screw you, Nike. I'll stick with my Chuck Taylors, unaware that Nike bought Converse years ago and that they're under the same umbrella. Like, you people, it just shows how triggered and stupid people are.
Yeah. Well, you know, people want to express their outrage. And
you want to boycott Nike? I guess you're not going to watch the NFL this year.
Well, that's the thing. Now, what do you think the league's response?
They're on every jersey.
What do you think the league's response has been to Nike as they saw this? Do you think the league knew ahead of time? Do you think that Nike went to the league and said, yeah, see, we know we're your provider of uniforms, but we'd kind of like to feature a guy who is currently suing you in federal court. So is that okay?
I don't think they needed that, but maybe that's a way of them trying to break their deal. Maybe they're sick of providing the jerseys for $150 or whatever. They have to pay to provide those jerseys, and then obviously they get it back selling them.
I don't think they would want to break their deal. Don't you think they could? Didn't they have to bid? Didn't they have to bid competitively to get the deal to pry it away from Reebok?
I think so. Yeah, they did steal it from Reebok. So I don't know what's at work there. That's an interesting spin-off of this.
I currently have, let's see, I've got two pairs. Well, I got a pair of Skechers. I got a pair of Asics that I have tried to retrofit into slip-ons. Do you know they make any number of systems to try to retrofit your sneakers into slip-ons?
Yes.
Because laces are for suckers. I've had the rubber bands. I've had loops. I've had other things. There's a number of companies that make things you can put in there. It never quite works the way I want it to.
Yeah. It's rough. And the slip-ons, that is, we do a thing on my show called Five Dumb Questions, my partner KB, and one of them is invariably, he slips it into his rotation of like 30 questions, but one of them is, do you own more slip-ons or lace-up shoes?
How many slip-ons do you own?
Two or three, but they're not like athletic.
Are they dress slip-ons?
They're dress slip-ons.
Interesting.
But then, that was his thing, and, the older you get, the more you hate laces.
Right, exactly. Because it involves bending over. Oh, God, man, my back hurts.
I'm too fat to lean down. This is going to be interesting, though, because people are saying, well, Adidas is a global brand, and they're in bed with Kanye, with the Yeezys, and they've done well. But will this impact, guys who run, half marathons and stuff? Am I going to switch allegiance? People are loyal to their shoes, man.
That's true. People that really do athletic shit are very loyal to their shoes.
If you have a narrow foot or something, it's certain kinds fit better than others. And
I don't want to be the guy that – you ever seen the sock puller on devices?
Yes, I've seen those. It's
for
hilarious.
Old people?
Oh, hilarious.
Hilarious? I think it's sort of sad. Like, this is what my life's reduced to. I can't reach down to get my socks on, but I want to be independent. So I've got this convoluted rig of sticks and grippers that allow me to pull my socks on.
Hey, man, I would think about getting that now for sheer laziness.
Oh, shit. All right. On the Kaepernick front, do you think that he figured out a long time ago he doesn't really want to go back and be on an NFL team? He wants to forge a new career as a martyr and as an endorser.
Well, the ship has sailed on him, hasn't it? When you've been out this long, could he come back?
I don't know. RG3 made a roster this year.
Yeah,
RG3 is the backup in Baltimore.
And please, please stuff the argument that the reason he's not in the league is because he's not good. He's better than Nathan Peterman and some of the people that are out there.
We would think he's better than a few guys for sure.
He's good enough to play in the league somewhere.
Right, but that's not the only criteria for being in the league. You have to show a want to be in the league. And I don't think – I think there's two things at work. I think, sure, he was being blackballed. There's no question about that. But I also think he didn't want to get back in the league, and so therefore he never showed enough leg, as I like to say, Drew, to get back in the league. He hasn't done an interview. Think about this. Has not done an interview in 2 years.
And that is also – that refutes people who say he's just trying to draw attention to himself. He's not like lining up to sit on the couch.
He could do an interview with somebody like a Tony Dungy and talk about football and life and protests and social justice and then – detail, here's what I've been doing to work out. He has not presented himself as a normal person to the NFL's hierarchy
to their
in 2 years.
Standards, yeah, well.
Because if you want to be back in the league, you would say, I want to be back in the league. You would actually put your voice in front of a camera and a microphone and say, here's what I'm doing to get back in the league. I don't plan to protest any further. I still believe in the cause seriously. I'm going to keep working on those fronts. But I think I can play in this league, so I'm looking forward to getting back in the league. That's what a normal person would do. He's been a recluse and a weirdo on this journey, and I think it's on purpose, Drew, because I think he realizes this is a better career now for him, and he's going to get paid millions from Nike.
He's a backup. I mean, the worst thing that can happen to a backup quarterback is an injury to the starter.
Because
you get exposed.
Then you have to play.
Exactly.
I believe one of the best lines from my buddy and fellow scribe to you, Tom Lavera, once said about a backup quarterback. Lovey said, he's fine. He's fine as a backup as long as you don't have to play him.
Exactly.
But that's what a backup's supposed to do, be there to back up when you need him.
Role players in baseball, my buddy Tom Haudricourt, legendary scribe here in Milwaukee, always says they're an aspirin player. You know, good in small doses, but if you take the whole bottle, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
You play a guy for a month when he's, you know, hey, he's good for a game or two.
Yeah.
You know, good for a couple innings here and there, but you try to play him for a whole month, he'll kill you.
Well, that's like, you know, Brian Nelson on Bob and Brian was saying, how could Foles, you know, not be good? And I said, like, how could he win the Super Bowl and yet he doesn't seem to be any good?
Eli Manning.
Yeah. Although Eli at least has more of a long-term track record.
Yes.
You know, I said that basically Nick Foles got hooked into a hot streak. And think about it. He won how many games en route to the Super Bowl? Count them. Atlanta, Minnesota, New England. Am I missing a game in there?
I don't think so.
That's it. Ding, ding, ding. Hop, skip, jump.
Yeah.
That's all it takes. It's all it takes is one little hot streak. That is not a long run of great football playing by Foles.
We love the small samples. I saw some tweets today saying that Kaepernick got, you know, first of all, who'd he get beat up by? Blaine Gabbert in a mono deal for playing time. And he also lost a Super Bowl to Joe freaking Flacco.
How does that have anything to do with this argument?
I mean, come on.
Right. But see, I believe, and some people don't understand this, but I'll try to say it slow so they can. I believe he has been both blackballed from the league and he has had no interest in getting back to the league.
Yeah, both of those things can be true.
I think they're both true at the same time. People, they overlap and they conflict with each other, but I believe both of those entirely.
You're asking people, to me, that's a sign of intelligence, to be able to hold two conflicting thoughts in your head at the same time and, you know, say that they're both correct. Yes.
And a sign of horniness is to hold two conflicting boobs in your hand at one time.
Giddy up.
And enjoy those things. Okay, let's talk sideline reporters for a real quick second. You have done this job that Maria Taylor was in the crosshairs for this past weekend with Nick Saban. Tell people about your experience doing sideline reporting on television.
It's one of those things that's way harder than it looks.
You did it for who?
I did it for Fox Sports Wisconsin on some Brewers and Bucks broadcasts.
Okay.
I thought I did pretty well, but they lost my number and I don't do it anymore. They have the Brewers use the lovely Sophia Minnert, who's much prettier to look at than me.
Well, that's the thing. And I talked about this yesterday right here on the Zabecast. I said, look, no male broadcaster aspires to be a sideline guy. Nobody.
No.
That's not your goal. It is a job in which, and nobody wants to admit the inherent sexism is in it. It's a throwaway job where they don't really let you report on shit that you're seeing. Like, there's all kinds of restrictions. Am I right about that?
No, I didn't find that, no.
Well, in the NFL there is, but maybe other sports maybe not.
Yeah, a couple.
You're not really breaking stories like Woodward and Bernstein. So what are you? You are a human being that holds a mic and asks two questions. Why not have it be a lovely female version of that?
Yeah, but they can report too. I mean, it's a little bit different when I was doing the team. Like, I was embedded near the dugout, and I had a direct line to the producer, and I'd be like, hey, if you want to throw to me, Steve Zabin's putting his spikes on. It looks like he's going to, the pitcher's going to pinch run here. And I would see stuff like that and tell them. And sometimes they'd throw to me, or sometimes I'd have a good tidbit that I'd gathered from before the game. Like, what happens by a sideline reporter? Yeah, I got great nuggets, and I would hit, and then it would be like, we can't do that. We have the car soup trivia question to get to. We got a full screen, and we can't.
No time.
Sit on that, and then it would just die.
Then it's like the moment's gone.
Yeah, and then the moment's gone. And so you end up with fighting to get stuff. At least I don't know how it works at the network level, but that's how it was on the regional sports network level. Yeah. They would go to me, and if the game was bad, if I could help, I would help. But it's a little different in those games. And again, they're very scripted. One of the things I never noticed that watching as a fan is how much stuff is billboarded and scripted and, like, in between pitches and, the trivia questions and sponsor reads and Tavern of the Game and stuff that
they do. In other words, the bread filling of a crab cake that is a televised broadcast.
Yeah, it's full, so it was there's precious real estate. And if I could say something like, if you got a hit your first time up, and then I said, hey, I talked to Steve Zabin before during batting practice. He switched to a lighter bat. He's using a 31-ounce bat now instead of the 34. And he thinks it's helped him with his bat speed and, in these dog days of August. Something like that. Like, they would say, they could throw to me after the hit, but then they had to do the replays, and then they would, the next time up, I would walk you up, which is what, when you're coming to the plate, they would show you and throw down. Let's go down to Drew. He's got a nugget about Steve Zabin. Very choreographed. It's kind of cool. The job is challenging, and I was just always trying to share the information that I had, and I'm sure that's what sideline reporters are doing, but they are the most, you're in the spotlight the most when you do that walk-off interview at halftime or at the end of the game, and those are always awkward and cloying and those are really the degree of difficulty to ask a good coherent question with 50,000 people screaming and maybe a producer in your ear. It's hard.
I'm sure it's a bit of a trick, but it's not a grueling job. You're on the air for less than 5 minutes total for a 3-hour game, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what is it about Nick Saban? Do you see that he can go from being perfectly rational and calm in the middle of an answer, and then to a raging maniac, like, you're trying to tear my team apart from the inside. How dare you ask that fucking question?
My take on that was, he has answered it 100 times, and apparently he gave ESPN access during the week, and they were asking and badgering about it. That's what the Alabama defenders will say.
Okay.
But Nick Saban is smart enough to know that when you're broadcasting to a national audience, I mean, I know he thinks he's the center of the universe and Alabama football is. It's really not. And especially even for sports fans. And when you're sucking in the national audience with millions of casual fans, they haven't heard that question asked.
Yeah.
So it has to be asked. And it's coming. So formulate your diplomatic answer and move on. Why lose your shit?
Could it
and
be
just
that
give everyone who doesn't live in Tuscaloosa a reason to hate your team?
Couldn't it be that he's torn apart by the fact he's going to have to tell Jalen Hurts, a guy who's taken him to 2 national title games, 1-1, sorry, bud, but it's over for you. This kid, Tua Tagovailoa, sick. Like, you're out. Well, he's in. Sorry,
isn't that
kid.
The coach's job? And if you're putting it off, like, and, if you're trying to play both sides and keep them both, isn't that disingenuous? Like, coaches get paid to make those decisions. He makes a shit ton of money to make that very decision.
All right.
And so, but he could have had a politically correct answer and just said, hey, this was a great win for us. We need both guys. We need everybody on this roster, Steve, to help Alabama win another. We got to get back. I mean, we got a target on our back every week. Everybody's after us, man. We're going to need everybody. Both of these guys are going to play for us. Both of these guys are going to contribute to this team.
Well, we've seen Nick Saban go off the rails at weekly pressers behind the podium.
Of course.
They are the stuff of gold. They're comedic legends. Like, what are you doing, man? Talking about going, he went through them like a shit through a tin horn, man. We gotta get ready for these guys.
Yeah.
Classic.
And so that's, again, it's a thing where he has so much power and so much, and he can beat down the local guys. And then if he extends that to the national guys. But the thing to me is, again, when you're on that national platform, what reason? He just gave everybody who doesn't like Alabama or who doesn't know about Alabama reason to root against him. And maybe that's part of the plan is everybody's against us. And maybe that's what they got to do.
Maybe he doesn't care about that. Maybe he's just worried about the 96 men in that locker room that look at that and go, damn, look at how our coach will stick up for us.
Yeah, the coach who says treat women with respect. Creating the culture of, you know.
Oh, you're playing
paranoia.
That card, huh?
Well, hey. Others have. I saw that, too. Okay. This wasn't, and people compared it to bullying.
You know, yes.
I've been ragged at much worse by half-naked men and sometimes naked men, and I've been, you know, that wasn't really, wasn't that bad, and she handled it great, and you move on to the next question.
It's like, not like she was crying. If it was like League of Their Own with this scene.
He was my manager. And he called me a talking pile of pig shit. And that was when my parents drove all the way down from Michigan to see me play the game. And did I cry?
No.
You know why?
No.
Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. No crying.
Oh, God. I love the unhinged. I love the unhinged world of college football. Here's Nick saying, this is the this is Charleston. They were playing Charleston Southern. All right, and here was Nick Saban going crazy. It's 2:40 bite. You'll like it, though.
And Nick, just in terms of their quarterback, obviously has some Division I or FBS experience playing at UAB. What have you seen from him?
He's a very good player. You know, he's a really good player, and he does a great job with their offense. And, you know, these teams that are typically the best teams in their division are really good teams. You all may be taking the week off week, but I'm not. And a lot of people take a lot of things for granted, and I get asked questions like, well, how important is it for the young guys to get to play this week? Well, how in the hell do you know they're going to get to play? I mean, what makes you think that you can just assume that they're going to get to play? Because you're assuming that the other team is not very good? They do have a Division I quarterback. He plays like a Division I quarterback. And they're very, very productive on offense, and they do a great job of executing what they do. And if we don't play good against them, you all don't remember.
Now, you think right there he's simmering down. You think that the Nick Saban pot of anger has been taken off the flame, but no, it's still on there.
Georgia Southern game, do you? I don't think we had a guy on that field that didn't play in the NFL, and about four or five of them were first-round draft picks. And I think that team won a national championship, but I'm not sure. And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them. Could not stop them. Because we couldn't get a look in practice. We didn't practice it right. All right, and everybody said the same thing in that game. Y'all took a week off. All right, this wasn't important. All right, so it's not important to anybody else. It's got to be important to the players, and it's got to be important to us.
He's drumming the podium, Drew.
You know, everybody gets all excited about the beginning of the season. You know, you get excited about getting married. All right, but after you're married for a while, you know, you got to have a process to make it work.
Right,
no matter what happens, we need to have a process to make it work in every game that we play.
Boy, now he's getting real now, isn't he, Drew?
Yeah, bringing in marriage. Real about the whole playing marriage the marriage stuff. Card.
Exactly. And he goes on for another 40 seconds, but that's one of the classic ones right there. Shit through a tin horn. I got to look where that came from. Must have come from the Army, don't you think, where you were shitting into some kind of, you know, tin horn? General George S. Patton, Jr. This is a quote from World War II. We're going to go through them like crap through a goose, like shit through a tin horn.
Yeah, what?
I don't know what a tin horn is. I'm guessing it might have been, maybe it was this, maybe it was like
early.
It might have been the shithole in a tank. Or the shithole in a B-17 bomber. Don't you think those instruments of war had a little place where you could go? And because if you really got to take a shit on the plane during a long mission or in a tank, what are you going to do?
That's true. It must be a tin horn, some kind of latrine outhouse type setup.
Maybe it is.
Jerry Kramer, legendary former Packers Hall of Fame guard, tells people that Lombardi cracked people up one time. He was in a rant, and he said something about a ditty bag. And everybody laughed because it's a funny word coming from a screaming Italian. Yeah, a ditty bag. And apparently it's like a bag, some kind of rucksack that was used in the military. But everybody thought it was a funny word. And, like, of course, Horning and McGee were busting out trying to you know, not contain their laughter that he, the coach had, in the middle of a rant, said that.
All right, let's talk some Brewers, shall we?
Yes.
Big weekend for your boys. You beat my Nats 2 out of 3.
Ooh,
And then you beat the Cubs on Monday. So you guys are really grinding here to get this wild card. How do you feel about the team right now?
Starting to play well. They were with a lot of body blows. The Cubs were playing really well in August, and so were the Cardinals, who are the Brewers' wild card competition. The Cardinals are, the market is starting to correct on them. They've lost 3 or 4 in a row, and they've had, I think they've lost 5 of their last 10. They're starting to cool off, which is what happens.
Yep.
When you win freaking 21 games in a month, you generally regress a little bit.
Sure.
People forget that in baseball.
Yeah.
But the Brewers are playing well, and the fact that they went and got Curtis Granderson and Jonathan Scope and Mike Moustakas, they're all in. I dig what they're doing. The path is there. If they don't make it, it'll be because they gagged it away. I think they have to at least make the playoffs, maybe not win the division, but make the playoffs in some fashion this year.
So here's something that I got to ask you about. Long ago, the producer for Bob and Brian was a young man by the name of Jeff Miller, a.k.a. Hawk. He's now, like all of us, no longer a young man. But I keep in touch with him, and he messaged me via Twitter, and he said, 2 minutes of your time, Zay, because I respect your opinion, and I trust you. And he goes on to talk about Josh Hader being unavailable to pitch because counsel said it was for workload and rest. And then he details, he only threw 10 pitches 3 days prior. That's crap, blah, 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 blah. CC Sabathia this, that, the other, da, da, da. I replied back, I said, I don't really have an opinion, but why would counsel keep him out? What is your theory? Hawk said, well, his claim was workload and rest, and my theory is this, and he went on and on and on and on. And I said, okay, I still don't understand. What would be the motivation to not pitch him? And I guess he was sort of like, maybe there was a conspiracy theory, maybe not. Do you have any idea about this, other than just he thought he needed the rest?
People are, he's been getting crushed for that. By the way, Josh Hader pitched 3 innings yesterday, or 2 2/3, and in his last act, he gave up a home run to Anthony Rizzo that almost lost the game.
Okay, so my boy Hawk is not alone in saying, why the hell is he not pitching?
No, that was the scream. People were screaming that from the top of their lungs because the other guys didn't work out. And
so what is the conspiracy theory?
Well, the counsel's an idiot because he put in a pitcher who gave up runs.
Oh, okay. So it's just a case of he should be pitching.
Outcome-based, yes, yeah. He should be pitching. And the guy's like third. First of all, he's really young, 23, right?
Right.
First full season, big league at this level. All-star. Tweets. You heard about his tweets?
It's been an
eventful season for the young man.
That's down the river. Like, there'd be no reason not to pitch him now because of that.
Of course. But he's been through a lot. But he's also like third or fourth in the league in appearances.
Okay.
And he's been incredibly effective. And what people don't factor in is part of the reason he's been incredibly effective is because Craig Counsell's done a really good job of spotting him and when to use him.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just like, well, he should use him all the time. Well, yeah, I guess in theory. Baseball fans, I guess you got to pull back from this football mentality.
Is it the whole mashing the X button theory of being a sports fan?
Yes,
like, if X worked on your controller, just keep mashing it. X button, X button,
exactly.
X button.
Exactly.
Pitch hater, pitch hater, pitch hater.
Yeah, they want to ride it until and Craig's trying to avoid the idea where the guy's, you know, suddenly giving it up because you've burned him out.
Right.
I the World Series a couple years ago with Chapman, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
X button. You're right. Smash, smash, smash.
Smash, smash, smash.
So people are barbecuing counts for this. And then here's the thing. Like, Brewers played the Nationals on Sunday in a game they needed to win because they lost a hyenas rain-delayed game the previous night.
Did you call it a hyenas?
Hyenas, yes. That's Harder Court and I have this. It goes to – that's our phrase. It comes from my cousin Vinny. The DA, my cousin Vinny, he said, these boys have committed this hyenas crime.
Hyenas.
We love the way he says it, so we exaggerate hyenas. We know
so you
it's
say
heinous.
Hyenas like hyena, we know like
we know
the animal.
Heinous. Exactly. As we draw it out.
But you don't say heinous. You don't say heinous like hyenas.
No, we say
like
hyenas.
You're a tall guy with an anus.
No, no. Okay. We're not Manute Bowling that one, no. But people were pissed because Granderson was leading off and Eric Thames, who was really bad in August, was playing and Keon Broxton was playing. And then lo and behold, Thames gets a couple of hits. Broxton hits a 3-run homer to give to basically win the game.
Homer is still traveling right now.
Exactly.
Holy
and so
shit, he hit that ball.
People are like, so where are those people? And here's the thing. And I pointed that out. I heard a lot of hot takes about lineup. I guess now we'll have to, and this was in the middle of the game, the Brewers had a big lead. I said, now we'll have to switch to second guessing the bullpen because he's not an idiot for playing those guys who came through.
Yeah.
And then somebody hit me back with, you just couldn't wait to say fans are stupid, huh? And it's like, no, I don't. Fans aren't stupid.
fans aren't stupid, but you are stupid. Yeah,
fans aren't stupid, and I wouldn't say that they are, but the thing about fans is when I fuck something up, I tell people in the pre-Twitter era, my Hall of Fame worst take was that I watched Dwayne Wade. I was covering baseball, so I missed a lot of his career, but I saw it. Dwayne Wade. I said, well, he can't shoot or handle the ball. He'll be a role player in the NFL, in the NBA. I said he'll have the impact in the NBA that Ron Dane, Heisman Trophy winner from Wisconsin, had in the NFL. I was completely wrong. I remind people of that all the time. We own our bad takes, but fans don't have to. They just like melt back into the woodwork.
Right. They're like Homer Simpson melting back into the shrubbery.
Exactly.
That famous gif that is passed around all the time. I once said, in terms of bad takes, I said I thought Patrick Ramsey was a young Brett Favre.
Well, see, we
I once said that I thought Mark Allery could be a decent comp to Kevin McHale. Another laughable.
Of course.
Because I mean, tall, gawky white guy. Sure, I see it. All skin and bones and elbows and shoulders.
That's the difference. We spew these opinions, but we own them when they go off the rails and fans just like go to the next one and then scream, or they wait for themselves to be right and say, see, I told you all the time, all along.
Have you ever been on the Twitter account Old Takes Exposed?
Yes, absolutely. Well, my take hasn't been.
Oh, okay.
I follow it. I don't think I have.
I think I've shied away from making big takes on. No, I think guys of our level, if the take is wrong enough, they will show it. There is a take by someone in sports radio for the Jets in New York market who said he thinks that both Christian Hackenberg and Connor Cook could be better than, who was the really good quarterback instead? And it was totally wrong because both those guys suck and they were both cut this weekend. So there you go. Before I get to fuck that guy, can I get your take on the Packers and the season? In a nutshell, I want your unified Drew Olsen before we shove off from shore take on the upcoming Packer season.
Having Aaron Rodgers upright makes everything right again in Packerland. Jimmy Graham's a good weapon. With Aaron Rodgers healthy, 10-6 is your default. You got a chance to go, 12-4.
But default 10-6. Yeah. When Rodgers was upright and healthy, there was some tough sledding because the talk was we're relying too much on him.
Yeah, well.
And remember when his numbers dipped because
he was 5-1 when he went down last year?
Might have been the year before that. Remember how he was struggling the year before and it was like, we're relying on him too much. He's trying to be too perfect with his throws. Guys can't get separation. That was the James Jones hoodie year.
Yeah.
Where you're like, we got to bring James Jones back because nobody else can catch from him.
Yeah. Rodgers is still elite and still great. As long as he's healthy, they're good.
Is this team loaded?
But I don't know about loaded.
You wouldn't
call
loaded, would you?
I don't know that I would. Yeah. But they're good enough, and they have a good enough – I think McCarthy's a good enough coach to again, they're a threat to go to the NFC Championship game.
Are the Vikings loaded?
I think the Vikings will regress to the mean a little bit.
Okay.
Will their quarterback be play? I mean, he's your guy. Will he be as good as they had last year? He'll
be better.
Easily
better.
That's a pretty high bar.
I know.
They got pretty good quarterback play last year.
They did. He'll be better.
And I also think what happened last year with them is they had what a lot of teams have, a charmed existence in terms of health. They lost their running back early, but everybody else was really healthy.
Yep.
And that market can correct. It's a cruel thing because to bank on health, but...
Packers. You guys are still the team to beat in the NFC North, says Drew Olsen.
Well, I would say yes, but I have to see how Mitch Trubisky is because that Khalil Mack pickup, the Packers, if they could have gotten him, it would be, let's book our tickets.
If the Packers had done the same deal as the Bears did for Mack, would you be applauding it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If they had gone a little further.
Because the Packers...
Let's say the Packers made that deal and...
Added a third first rounder?
No, that'd be too much. But
see
how about,
why though? Look at the Packers' last 10 first-round picks, and
I'm generally not
a murderer's row.
I went through this yesterday right here on the Zabecast. I'm like, the point of the draft is to find generational players who can single-handedly tilt the outcome of the game on the field, and that's what Khalil Mack is. You could have 10 draft picks, 10 first-rounders. You'll
10
be lucky to get one
in the 27 to 32 range.
Right. You'd be lucky to get one. But, other first rounders are still good, solid starters for you. So you can't.
Yes.
Three is too much. But let's say you did two ones and you didn't claw back the second for a third and a sixth. Would you have done that deal?
I'd have done the deal.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, the Bears are going to get better. I still don't think Packers much of Trubisky,
also,
though.
Look at the deal Mac signed, though. Can you? What team has given out two deals like in a week where you give Rodgers all that money and then to commit that much money to Mac? The reason the Bears can do it is they're in the position of doing it because their quarterback's
the common,
on the rookie deal, right?
That's the common belief, but I think
that's
it's
when
bullshit.
You go in.
I think
why?
It's because okay.
Who else pays marquee guys? Like the okay, Packers are phasing out Cobb and Matthews after this year, so they will have money.
Drew, if you were to give me the spreadsheet of an NFL team, I'd fucking find guys to cut saying, you're not that good, get out. You're not that good, get out. They'd be a bunch of $5 to $6 million a year players that I would say we can get somebody younger, cheaper,
so
that's just as
them.
Good. Fuck yeah, moneyball the shit out of it.
See,
I would have three or four stars and a bunch of scale musicians playing trombone and drums.
That's pretty much the recipe now, though. I mean, but at some point you got to keep some guys, like, you know, okay, like your tackles and your, you know, you have to pay somebody. You gotta have some supporting cast. But it's all about if Trubisky's good, the Bears will be great. If he's not, they'll be.
How about this? The Giants have Eli Manning under a big contract, and they paid Odell Beckham Jr. How about this? The Rams, yes, they've got Jared Goff on a rookie deal, but they have paid Todd Gurley and they have paid Aaron Donald. And they went out and they splurged on DBs this offseason.
They're spending
Can be
some
done.
Money. Yeah.
Can be done. Here, well, here's your...
The handbook for spending money is pretty much written by your franchise, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Here,
you want me to find you some money on the Packers' salary?
Feel free.
Okay, here we go. This is from spotrack.com. Randall Cobb at $12 million. Get out.
Yeah, he's out after this year.
But get rid of him now.
Well.
Okay.
They got rid of Jordy for the same reason.
Clay Matthews at 11. Bakhtiari at 11.
Gotta
Nick
have.
Perry at 10. Expendable.
Oh,
Devontae Adams
guys.
At 10.
You can't replace those guys. You can say that, oh, we'll find somebody just as good. No, and it's what you just said. Have four guys that make plays. Clay
Mike
Matthews
Daniels
is
at
that
9.
Guy.
Bulaga at
Mike
7.
Mike Daniels is a field changer.
Clinton
He's
Dix
changer.
At 5. Jimmy Graham at 5. Mason Crosby. Mason Crosby costs you $5 million?
Yes.
Fuck gone if I'm trying to afford Khalil Mack.
I don't know, man.
Muhammad Wilkerson, 4.8. He's going to be a reclamation project.
With the Mike Pettine, yeah. We'll have
Corey
to see.
Linsley, 4.8. See, this is the range in the fours here where you can get rid of guys and go cheaper.
And those are solid glue guys that you don't have backups that are as good. Like the drop-off from Corey Linsley to the next guy would be big.
Says you.
Yeah. Says
we
me.
Don't know,
says,
though.
Says the guys running the Packers, too.
Oh, suddenly you believe in everything they do.
I believe, but I'm also saying they should have gone and gotten Khalil Mack.
I know.
That would have been.
I know.
I mean, he's the Aaron Rodgers of defense.
He's sick.
Yes.
He is absolutely sick. And good for the Bears, I guess.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right, here we go, Drew. Who is your FTG for the week?
All right, this is uncharted waters for us, Zabe. I am going to fuck that guy, kids, who are probably between the ages of 9 and 13.
Oh, my God, an FTG for children.
Children's,
what about the
yes.
children, Drew?
What about the children?
The children!
These are specific children. These are the children who stayed through the rain delay Saturday night when your Nationals played the Brewers.
Yeah.
And there were about 500 people in the stands at the end of this game. Which ended at like 12:30, I think your time, I think.
Yeah.
And they were positioned near the Fox Sports Wisconsin ambient crowd mic. And constantly, for innings at a time, were chanting in that adenoidy voice, you know, let's go Ryan to Zimmerman, let's go Nationals, let's go.
And it was
the clap, and it was like, you know, fingernails on a blackboard.
But
I'm trying to watch the game, and they didn't turn down the crowd mic.
Well,
the
fuck that guy shouldn't be for the kids. It should be for the producer of the
part
broadcast.
Of it too, for not turning it down.
Because the kids don't
Twitter,
know that
like,
there's a microphone there, do they?
It was one of my most popular tweets of the week, and I said, what's more agonizing or what sucks more? The Brewers puking away this game that they should have won. They led in the eighth inning before the rain delay. Or these kids. And everybody was like, these kids. And then I had a couple. I'll fuck that guy to the people who said, they're just having the time of their lives. Why don't you shut up? Who has their kids at a game after a two-hour rain delay at 12:30?
Hey, summertime, man.
Yeah, I guess.
Last hurrah
still,
of summer. No school the next day. Last hurrah.
12:30 after a two-hour rain delay? It's almost like that's what they should do to the kids that are at reform school. They should make them sit through that and watch it.
Is that what guy is worse?
It was horrible, though.
What guy is worse, the annoying too close to the mic guy on a TV broadcast of a sporting event, or the stand up and block the camera view guy at a sporting event broadcast?
There's a spring training vendor who's really bad that when you cover a game, you can hear this guy, you know, ice cold lemonade like grandma made.
All right, so
fuck the guys who ruined my watching of the game Saturday night. Those right. kids.
All right, here's my fuck that guy for the week. It's the guy who wants to wait until I am totally clear of the checkout register area at the 7-Eleven. Hey, pal, just put your shit down. I'm done with my transaction. You can begin yours. I'm not going to fucking knife you in the neck. What is wrong with you? You're now making me rush. I hate that guy. Do you know who I'm talking about? You pay for your stuff. You're putting your wallet and your credit card or your money away. You've scooched your items, your chocolate milk and your donuts off to the side. But because you're not fully clear of the register area, he's sitting back there timidly like, I'm not going to step up right now. He's not done yet. Hey, pal, just put your shit up there and pay for it. I'm not a maniac. I'm not going to kill you. You're making me rush now. So I just say to that guy, fuck you. It's a very specific one. Drew, for more of you, for more of you.
At Drew Olson MKE on Twitter, the iHeartRadio app, the Big 920, the Big 1070 in Madison.
All right, buddy. We'll see you next week.
We'll do.
All right, we'll end with this one. The fish market meets the Muppets. Well, what?
What the hell did you just say?
Here you go. A fishmonger in Kuwait has been closed down for sticking adhesive googly eyes on his fish to make them appear fresh.
Awesome.
There's the fish being sold, and there's the before picture with the plastic Google eye on the fish, and then there's the picture with the Google eye moved just to the side. And it's like, ugh, that fish is rotten right there. That is so great. Never would have thought, oh, yeah, let's just put the Google eyes on there. Do you think that maybe if someone got duped and they bought the fish and they're like, oh, this fish is great. Here, pass me the eyeball. I love the eyeball the best. I want to, I broke a tooth. What the hell? It's a Google eye. It's not a fresh fish. Of course, being in an Islamic Middle East Gulf state, I don't know what it is like in Kuwait. Maybe it's not as bad as Saudi Arabia. I can only imagine the punishment for this fishmonger is like 1,000 lashes with a dead trout. Good luck to that guy, but beware. Make sure when you go to your local supermarket here in America, you just touch the eye. Just poke, poke, poke. Touch the eye. Make sure it's not a Google eye. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thank you for listening. Download the free Zabecast app wherever your apps are sold or distributed. It doesn't cost any money. It's free. Subscribe as a premium member by going to zabe.com/premium. Tell two friends, and thank you for the support. And always remember, if you really want to cause a stir with your footwear, buy some British Knights. Yes, they still exist, and roll out with those. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.